I'm trying to present this talk this morning, Bioenergy Production and Carbon Sequestration Dynamics Under Conservation Reserve Program Management System. This is also my dissertation topic, and fortunately I have my academic advisor with us here. He's the second author in this case, Professor Warren A. Dick. And you can see my advising committee member as well. So before I go further, I would like to explain a little bit what is Conservation Reserve Program stand for. Probably most of us, we are aware of the Conservation Reserve Program in United States. But still, I would like to just give a brief introduction. This is a large, just public, like a federal government program, USDA initiated, a large public-private partnership. It's a voluntary program incentivizing landowners to retire their environmentally sensitive cropland from intensive production. And this program was enacted by the Food Security Act 1985, which also we call Farm Bill 1985. It aims to improve air and water quality, reduce soil erosion, enhance wildlife habitat, improve carbon sequestration. These are the four main objectives for Conservation Reserve Program funded by U.S. Federal government. It also, when we talk about the land use system and distribution in the United States, the Conservation Reserve Program, I won't go further any other detail, but I would like to see that this, you can see this, the Conservation Reserve Program land is almost 33 million acres at this point already enrolled. This is a little bit shrinked recently, but earlier it was 33 million acres. Right now it's almost 25 million acres. But we are talking about this, my whole experiment is based on to address this 2% of our land, which is already in place since 1985. My hypothesis, one of the main hypotheses that we created in 2009, because this is long-term experiment that we have undertaken, it started in 1999, which is 10 years we didn't harvest this biomass anymore, and that's the contractual time frame for CRP land. And after 10 years, we started this real, the experiment. So our aim was to see whether we can harvest sustainably the bioenergy biomass for bioenergy purpose. And by then, it was a lot of confusion, a lot of argument that you cannot do that. We cannot use for bioenergy purpose because this is set for some different purpose. But now, after 5-6 years, you can see 2014 Farm Bill already made that provision that commercially we can harvest for bioenergy purpose. So one of my hypotheses, one of my objectives has been already fulfilled in this case, I would say. But then the question comes, how? And that's what we are going to deal with. So harvesting of net primary production in CRP land and CRP land resources will increase land cover percentage, will increase net energy production, will increase above ground net primary production, will increase below ground net primary production, will improve soil quality indices and soil health. These are some of the objectives. hypothesis, and one more hypothesis is we'll also increase carbon sequestration in terms of soil and in terms of below ground biomass. This is one of the slides that I always try to use. When we talk about in this context, then we have to consider the sustainability, which is which we can define in two different perspectives. The producer's perspective you can see bottom up, but people like us, we can go top down. But there should be some sort of agreement. We cannot say one way or other. So when we talk about environmental science, when we talk about this biofuel or agricultural science, then we have to keep in mind whatever we do, is this sustainable in the longer run or not. That's why we took a little more time, it's the 15 years in information in this case, but I'm trying to just present a little bit more, just in a brief. This is one of the reasons, from 1999 to 2009, we didn't do anything in the CRP. But 2009, we laid out the experiment. So we designated 2009 year as a baseline information or base year. In this case, I'm trying to present the precipitation pattern. So monthly precipitation pattern, if you see the growing season, which starts from April through August, you can see 2009 is not a dry year. If it is dry year, our conclusion would be, I think, biased. So that's what I'm trying to say. In case of annual precipitation, also 2009 is not a dry year. And that's what we are trying to compare everything to 2009. This is a complete randomized block design that we laid out in 2009 with five different levels of nitrogen rate and three different management strategy with four blocks as the replications and 15 different treatment combination. So altogether you can say 60 experimental units. But if you also superimpose or you can say consider the depth, which is three depth and one more that we calculated, that comes to 180 experimental units. Or if you add four, then it's almost 240 experimental units. Come to the result and discussion. This is one of the finding that we got after 10 years. When we didn't harvest for 10 years this land, the change in land cover percentage was down to 40%. So almost you can say it's very, very low. When we initiated the harvesting biomass with three different management strategy, then second year it went to almost double, but third year, almost we got the plateau. This is another result, one of the results I'm showing here, that harvesting biomass above ground net primary production that I'm calling, it's been 2009, if you see that, it's been linearly increased till 2014. And this X, Y, G, they are coming significantly different. But management A, which is, I would say this, we have to remember, management A is we are harvesting in dry condition, completely dry condition, which is March or April. That is A management. Management B, we harvest two times, one in the spring, which is green, and one in, again, dry condition, which is the same as A. And third one, we harvest continuously from a spring through a fall, which is October, you can say, that is all green. So those are the three management superimposed. The same scenario we can see in this case, the bioenergy production is almost patterned the same. It's just the conversion of bioenergy, how much energy we are getting from. One of the, actually we try to analyze 21 parameters altogether so that we can cross-check in a different ways whatever we are trying to conclude is sustainable or valid from different perspective, because it's also concerned for the policy of the United States in this case. So we were very much regressive in all the analysis, all the parameters. So this is one of the root biomass that we consider, and it's all native prairie grass, as you know, in the CRP land. It was like a 10 different variety, 10 different plant species. I will later, I think, explain what those species were. But right now you can see, if you compare the baseline information here, the baseline information 2009, management A is very high, significantly different. These are also significantly different, but they are declining in terms of root biomass. Remember that. In terms of root and soil carbon sequestration perspective, we look at in that case, then nitrogen has no role. As we increase nitrogen rate, the carbon sequestration is going down, down, down. But when we consider no nitrogen in this case, because it's a 10 years span, the zero nitrogen carbon sequestration is significantly increased. Same, almost you can say 10 kg of nitrogen per hectare also try to be significant, but it's not exactly. So as you go 80, it's down, down, down. This is, we try to consider a rate of extraction, rate of removal of all the nutrients. I'm trying to present here only NPK, calcium, magnesium, and sulfur. So in case of NPK, if you look at the nitrogen, in three different management systems, it's remarkably different. It's completely different. You can see here, this is something that it has two information here. One is per hectare basis, and the one is per megagram basis, just the biomass per megagram. So if you look at the per megagram basis nitrogen, we are in management A, 4.3 kg per megagram we are trying to remove. But if you move to management B and C, it's like a double and triple. But there is no difference between the years. Year has no difference. When you move to per hectare basis, then of course you have a lot more you have removed in terms of nitrogen, in terms of phosphorus and potassium both. So all of them. But the question here is still in the long run, although we are, in this case, nitrogen we remove a lot, but in management A, we haven't removed a lot compared to this, like 105 and 152 versus 72. So we are in better off in management A in this case. Rate of calcium, magnesium, and sulfur removal. I'm trying to just focus on calcium in this case. Calcium doesn't follow the same pattern as nitrogen, probably because calcium is less mobile in the system. So when we harvest as a grain or dry, it doesn't matter in this case. They came with the same. So per megagram basis, we remove carbon 1.28 kg per megagram, which is almost not very different in other management. But when we move to per hectare basis, all total harvesting, then we significantly remove calcium. But still, if you look at the nutrient recycling process in this case, which I'm not presenting here because of the time factor, we are still better off in calcium. This is one of the interesting results that I found. because I'm also trying to defend my, after 5 days, my dissertation. So this is one thing I found. The carbon, total organic carbon pool in case of soil, in case of root is different, but in case, I'm presenting in case of soil right now, which is again, I'm still trying to say that, okay, don't be confused. Sometimes I'm, because the simplicity, I have also both ways that some of the carbon I expressed as a carbon CO2C, and some of, in this case, is just the C. So in this, I would say, if you look at the carbon sequestration in the soil, it's significantly increased from base year 2009 to 2014. I haven't here presented anything right now in terms of management, but that is there also. But again, in this case, if we are looking at this graph, then this is something that we call respiration quotient. And respiration quotient is basal respiration divided by total biomass, microbial biomass. So that quotient people use for to see the system whether it's sustainable or not. So in this case, we can clearly see here carbon sequestration is plus because the microbial population efficiency of energy is very high here. So in this case, I'm trying to say that 2009, we can say like Chile's. So the bacterial community, most microbial condition, like a bacterial dominated, I'm just assuming. But when we harvest and make the system restore, then you are coming with the like a fungal dominated that they are very energy efficient. So these two are very, important finding that I found. Same thing here. If you look at the root and root CO2 and soil both, if you remember the earlier slide, roots were in three different management. Management A increased from base information, baseline information. In this case, when you combine both, all of them are increased compared to 2009. So this is like, if you include both, then you have a plus. Everything is plus. But if you include just the root, then you are management A only, you are trying to gain. In this case, we develop a soil quality indices with 5 different variables. And I'm just presenting the year information here. And again, management information I'm not presenting here because of time maybe. So soil quality indices reflects that we are better off. This is a scale 0 to 1. I calculated everything. I made all the data unitless, and I calculated based on a scale 0 to 10. Sorry, 0 to 1. 1. And if you look at 0 to 1 scale, then 2009 is, in terms of soil quality, and soil health also is very poor, significantly increased in 2014. And these are the summary that I use in the soil developing and calculating soil quality index. These are active carbon, which is labile carbon, and particulate organic matter pool, microbial biomass carbon, basal respiration, and urease enzyme activities. These are the 5 different variables that we use to compute the soil quality indices. And you can see the active carbon recorded and accounted for highest variation in the soil quality index, followed by microbial biomass carbon, followed by basal respiration, microbial carbon, and urease enzyme activities. So if you rank them in order, then active carbon, which is very, lifetime is very, half-time is very low. So in this case, we can say the ranking is very high in this case for active carbon. So in conclusion, what we found, harvesting of above ground biomass as bioenergy feedstock for in CRP land increased or improved net bioenergy production, net primary production, carbon sequestration, land cover percentage, and soil quality indices. So we are not trading off any of the objective that has been envisaged for CRP land by the U.S. government. With that, these are my acknowledgments. These are the people who somehow made this long-term experiment possible. And thank you for question.
Any questions, please?
Can I introduce my advisor here? I would like to introduce my academic advisor here, because I'm fortunate that he's here, and I'm trying to defend my dissertation in 5 days, in 15th. Can you introduce yourself? He's one of the international authority for environmental biochemistry.
So his defense is Tuesday, so that's what
he's saying. I think I'm not trying to, but that's what the reality I have. I can go on and on for several minutes for you, what you have done so far.